Bom dia, bem-vindos ao JE Entrevista, o programa de entrevistas do Jornal Económico em podcast, no Spotify e em todas as plataformas. O nosso convidado esta semana é John Krakauer, professor de Neurologia, Neurociência, Medicina Física e Reabilitação na Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, contratado pela Fundação Champalimaud no início do ano passado. O neurocientista que viveu em Portugal dos 4 aos 11 anos assumiu a missão de desenvolver terapias de reabilitação de danos cerebrais através da realidade virtual. Afinal, como podem as novas tecnologias ajudar a máquina mais extraordinária do ser humano? John Krakauer foi o convidado esta semana do Innov Club, uma colaboração entre a BetaI, uma consultora de inovação colaborativa, e a Sociedade de Advogados Vieira de Almeida. O Jornal Económico orgulha-se de ser membro desta iniciativa. Esta entrevista será, obviamente, conduzida em inglês. Welcome, John. I will start with this question. The brain is one of the most complex objects known to science. How can we better understand it?
Thank you for that easy question. Well, I mean, I think we have to do lots of different kinds of science in many different species, including computers, humans, and animals. And then we have to be a little bit more precise by what it means to say understand. I think understand is a word used a little bit too casually, but it will you know what the answer feels like when you hear it, right? Let me give you an example. When are we going to understand Lisbon? What does that actually mean? I can ask that question, right? I can say to you, do you understand Lisbon? But then I
That's the
can ask
word,
you,
yes.
what would the answer have to sound like to prove that you understood Lisbon? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's a question easier to ask than to think about what the answer would look like.
Very tricky. What is yet to be discovered about our brain? Can
Well, I
you say
mean,
it?
I think we almost everything. We don't really know how we think or move or how the brain makes us do that. I should also say that trying to find ways to fix the brain is not the same as understanding the brain. Okay. So, in other words, when Fleming discovered penicillin and penicillin ended up being an effective antibiotic, you could use it as an antibiotic before you knew how it worked. So sometimes we can fix things and treat things before we know how that treatment works. So it's a very different kind of science to do medicine versus doing basic science, which is to understand how something works when it's healthy. They're related and they help each other, but they're not the same question.
And tell me, are new technologies a threat or an opportunity to the brain?
Depends how they're used. All technology that is powerful is double-edged. So technology has always marched hand in hand with science. Cajal, who won the Nobel Prize, Ramon y Cajal, for the neuron doctrine, who would never have been able to come up with that discovery without microscopes, right, which were a technology. So you always need those two together. But AI and other forms of technology can be dangerous as well, right? You don't want to have someone control your mind. You don't want someone to read your mind, right? You don't want somebody to, a technology to come up which is better than your mind. So we're going to always have to know the difference between when it's for good and when it's for evil.
You have to expect a long way to discover all of it.
Oh, absolutely. But AI is already potentially very dangerous, not in the way that people think in Terminator and movies like that, but a lot of fake data and fake images and even fake people can be created, and it's dangerous.
Artificial intelligence can shape the brain's ability to develop in the near future?
I don't think so. I mean, I think AI can cause bad behavior and bad habits. Absolutely. AI can generate fake text and fake news, and that can have an influence on us and make us vote in the wrong way or do the wrong thing. So there's a big danger of our behavior being changed by AI, but I don't think we need to think it's fundamentally changing our brains.
And what do new technologies have to offer in terms of understanding the development of a neurological disease?
Well, I mean, there are technologies for investigation, like MRI scanners and MEG and high density EEG, and then technology can be used to treat people, robotics, brain stimulation. These are, virtual reality, video gaming. These are very exciting technologies to develop non-pharmacological treatments.
And tell me, how can we work on our brain to stay healthy?
Well, at the moment, it's kind of the same old boring stuff that we've always said, eat well, sleep well, exercise, have friends, and be mentally challenged. And, don't smoke, don't drink too much. And those are the things that still suggest that you can increase your chances of having a healthy older life without dementia.
When we talk about wellness practices, it is common to talk about physical exercise and nutrition. Why is the brain so neglected, in your opinion?
What do you mean neglected? You mean why don't we talk about more direct brain things, you mean?
Yes.
Is that what you mean?
Yes, that's it.
Well, I see. Well, it's interesting. It seems as though the brain indirectly benefits from good food and sleep and exercise, just like every other organ in the body, your bones, your heart. In terms of brain itself, it may well be the case, you might be right, that we should do cognitively challenging things at the same time as we exercise. But that, you could say, is what sport is, learning a new skill. So I think the way not to forget the brain is to not just exercise, but also play a sport, learn a new language, learn to play a musical instrument, learn to draw. So things like that are probably healthy as well. But sport and skills are not the same as exercise. So I think you're right. Those might be more brain-centric.
Are practices like those we find in, for example, the Enterprise Neuralink, a threat or an important step in discovering the brain's potential?
Well, I mean, Neuralink are a company that are making extremely good electrodes to implant in the brain. And, the most recent technology was kind of a wireless version of this. So they are really good at the engineering side of the problem. The ethical and scientific sides, it's not so clear. When they made the announcement about a month ago, they were talking about having received FDA approval and a patient had been implanted. But they haven't told us what for, what disease, and what the trial is going to be. So that's slightly problematic. So again, there's good and bad. The engineering is good. The project, I don't know. They didn't tell us. And I worry sometimes that Neuralink are worrying much more about a consumer device for healthy people, and the patients are just a way station along the way to consumer. So it's a mixed bag. It's pluses and minuses.
Thank you very much for your time, John. It was really a pleasure. Estivemos à conversa com John Krakauer. Esta foi uma entrevista no âmbito do Inov Club, uma colaboração entre a BETAI e a Sociedade de Advogados Vieira de Almeida. Acompanhe este e outros temas no podcast JE Entrevista e toda a atualidade em jornaleconómico.pt. Até à próxima.